It is 7 o'clock. We still have all of our members of the Board of Finance here, so I'm going to go ahead and call the Board of Finance meeting to order. All right, so public participation. We did get a couple of emails.
Jen, you froze. If you can hear me, you froze, Jen.
Household of busy teenagers, I'll bet.
Yeah, it's probably got knocked off.
Yeah.
Can anybody?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Yep. We see it's shaking your head.
All right. Sorry about that. Okay. So public comment. We did get a couple of comments. I am finding them in my email. And I am just going to note that. So we did get one public comment today. I will share this with the Board of Finance just so the members get it, but I will read it so it's a part of the public record. It says, Dear Canton Board of Finance members, I am making a public comment on behalf of my family and our group of concerned Cherry Brook Primary School parents. There are 48 children in the remote learning program, K-3. As of November 10th, 2020, Board of Meeting report by John Bishop. K-3 should be receiving 2.5 hours of live instruction per day, according to state guidelines. Our children are averaging 1 to 1.5 hours of synchronous learning and meaningful interaction with their teachers per day. At the prior 10-27-20 BOE meeting, I asked that John Bishop, Kevin Case, and Board of Education members collectively re-examine the needs of the younger children in our district's distance learning program. Currently, two teachers teach three grades. Our kids are alone for most of the day with very little teacher interaction, guidance, and support. I offered that a part-time teacher might fill in the blanks on the schedule. However, this is not a proper solution. A full-time teacher needs to be hired. Some parents were sounding the alarm when the two distance learning teachers were announced back in August that this was going to be a problem. After almost 3 months, we know how our kids are doing, what isn't working, and what will fix the problem. We do not need to wait for survey results to be disaggregated or another 5 weeks to determine efficacy of a part-time floating non-certified staff. No matter how their schedule is divided or reworked, it is not humanly possible for two teachers to properly teach three grades in one day. The void is glaring when one of the two teachers is absent and the other is left to juggle three grades on her own. Please reference the attached schedule for grades 1, 2, and 3. Please note that the scheduled times on paper are different in actuality. Our group of parents has been charting the actual number of live teaching hours our kids are receiving, and it always falls short of the state minimum. The conservative measure of adding a part-time non-certified teacher to fill in the blanks is a temporary solution. We need a more drastic measure. We are now asking Superintendent Case to approve the immediate hiring of at least one additional full-time certified distance learning teacher at Cherry Brook Primary School. We humbly ask that the Board of Finance does everything within its power to expedite any request for funding that the superintendent requests. The youngest kids need more and not less, and they need it now, not next year. Let's do better for our youngest remote learners in Canton, making sure that they receive an equitable education. We look forward to the day when all of the kids can return safely to school, but until that time, the situation needs to be addressed and remedied as a matter of priority. Thank you in advance for your consideration. Sincerely, Cherry Brook Primary School families, Jenny Abel and Jeff Hockett, Maggie Meehan, Catherine Teal and Dave Offenhartz, Judy Corey, Sarah Hafford-Steniger, Erica Gewitt, Naomi Kravitz, Laura Bello, and James Bohm. So, and I may have mispronounced some of those names. I apologize for any Canton residents where I did mispronounce the names. I think we have the general understanding, and I will just ask that when we get to the general update for the Board of Education, that if the Board of Finance members have any questions for Kevin on this feedback, and we'll dialogue a little bit more about this topic then. Kevin, does that work for you if we just address it during your update?
Absolutely, thank you. Okay.
All right. Next, before we move on to the monthly reports, I did want to ask the Board of Finance if anybody would like to entertain a motion to add a new business item to discuss just general budget considerations for the Board of Education and Board of Selectmen, kind of coming off of our last tri-board meeting. If anybody is interested in dialoguing on that, I would suggest we could keep our time boxed, but maybe share just a few thoughts or considerations that could be helpful for our boards as they're building their budget. Anybody? Ken will move. Anybody yeah. second?
Yeah, I don't.
Sarah?
Yeah.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. And Katie, I'm just going to share, for whatever reason, you are no longer on my screen, so I will apologize if you're making motions. Just unmute yourself and tell me what you need. I apologize for that. I have 4 of you, but not 5 of you, so. Okay. All right, with that, let's move on to the monthly reports. So in the packet that Bill sent out, and I do just want to say, I know that last month we asked for some changes to the Board of Finance reports. Bill has been actively working on them. They were not quite ready for this meeting, but Bill, I know you're spending a lot of time learning to love Infinite Visions, but there is progress being made, and I appreciate the board's patience. Definitely trying to find something that is both more efficient for our town's finance team, but also providing the information that you all need, and it's just taking a little while to get there. But Bill, thanks for your efforts on that, and we'll proceed with where we are tonight.
Thank you, Jen. So if you move on to page 2, I'll review the revenue collection comparison report. As in the previous tri-board meeting, the current year tax collections coming in at 55.75%, which is ahead of last year's 55.34. Overall tax collections coming in at 55.1% of budgeted. The interest is down as discussed. We did receive the people's interest. The $22,430, and that is one of the parties I did interact with about the interest. I do see, again, a shortfall for the end of the year. My estimate is coming in at about $90,000 to $95,000 compared to the $165,000 budgeted. The building and licensing permits is... still doing well, ahead of budget from last year as well, coming in at 45.58%. Just going over the highlights here. The departmental revenue coming in at 51.28%, which is ahead of last year as well. And overall, we are just under 50% of budgeted at 49.95%. which is a little bit under last year.
This is Ken.
Anyone have, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ken. I got a question. Department revenue, I got it flagged down here under Board of Education miscellaneous revenue. I know we're talking small dollars here compared to overall budget, but when I see a $411 increase or change, it's like, what happened there, or what's going on there? It's under department revenue.
Yeah, it's on page 2.
$24,698.
Is that a COVID grant? No?
Okay. Sue, do you know what that is? I could research it.
Not entirely on your end, but I know most likely any refunds, Jen, we receive after the close of last fiscal year. There was some refunds, I think, that came through to finance. And once our year's closed, we can't accept them and apply to the Board of Ed this year's budget. They would automatically go back to the town. So I know there were some things that were canceled, some refunds came through. Maybe they put them there on that line item.
Okay.
I can circle back on that at a later point.
Thank you.
Right.
I guess that's going to be some much on the on the vendor permits, the same thing. When I see, we're talking peanuts here, but it's just if you're just looking at percentage, it's like, wow, something was missed or something. It flags it. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't really need an answer on the vendor permits. So.
Yeah.
That's not enough for us to waste time on.
Mike, any other questions on the revenue side from board members? My question, I think one of the big reasons why we're down kind of percentage-wise year over year is because of the educational cost-sharing grant. We got that, I believe, in October of last year, and it doesn't look like it came through from the state. Do we think that that is at all at risk? Do we know anything about the timing of when we should receive our first ECS grant?
Bill, I don't know if you know anything about that, but we should be receiving all of our money. I don't know about the timing.
Correct. Last I heard, everything's coming through. The ECS money hasn't been reduced at all, but the state itself in particular is very behind on processing their side of things on grant payments. We didn't receive most of the October-only grants that we received. We're not processed yet.
Just good to know we haven't gotten anything reduced, right? That's, I think, another uncertainty that I forgot to mention because I didn't read all of my notes when I was doing the last discussion, but just is the state going to be able to continue to fund ECS levels? But we can talk about that later. All right. If there's no other revenue questions, do you want to move on to general fund expenses?
On page 4.
Yeah.
You see the overall general fund revenue, expenses coming in at 76.9%. That is with the encumbrances. To Jen's point, I am trying to get some better reporting in place right now. So the encumbrances that we are showing this year weren't showed last year. I don't have necessarily anything here to that's really a highlight. If anyone has any questions.
It's Katie. I had just a few really, I don't think they're major points, but I was curious about them. There was an increase in Parks and Rec that where at this time a year ago we'd spent just over 39%. And this year it was up to 55, and I wasn't sure what was going on that was different in Parks and Rec that would account for that. Senior teacher services was up, but that kind of makes sense. I could imagine why in current circumstances they might be spending more, but.
I'm just scrolling over to the IV reports for Parks and Rec, slightly salary, but let me check.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one that was up, and again, there's small amounts, as Ken was saying before, but animal control was almost double.
Yeah, for the Parks and Rec, you have your salaries encumbered out for the whole year.
I did my own calculations without the encumbrances so that I could make an apples to apples comparison.
Okay.
Anyway. It's not a big deal. I just curious.
Yeah, I think Katie on Parks and Rec, you're looking at last year we had spent 76,000 just year to date expended, and now we're at 97,000, right?
Yep.
Is one of the things there, which is especially interesting given that the overall budget for Parks and Rec is down like 18,000 year over year, but yet we've spent almost 25,000 more in actual dollars.
Yeah, that was why I noticed it.
So Bill, maybe we can just understand that and take it as a takeaway on that.
Yeah. Will do.
Are there any other questions on the expenses from the team?
I'm sorry, Katie, what was your item after the Parks and Rec?
The other things are not big dollar amounts, but it was senior and social services was up as a percentage relative to the previous year, and animal control was like way up as a percentage, and I just wasn't sure if there was something weird going on there.
Okay. I'll provide feedback following the meeting.
All
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's Sarah here. You know, I noticed those and I was assuming they were due to encumbrances, but now that I'm looking more carefully, I'm realizing that that accounts for part of it, but not all of it. So yeah, so Bill, if you can look at that broad swath of these in here, there are quite a number of them that are hitting around 90%. And it could be encumbrances for the majority of it, but not all of it.
Yeah, that's why I pulled those out and actually calculated them without the encumbrances.
Yeah. Because I mean, things like Park and Rec, I know they cut way back on programs. You would think if anything, they'd be lower, not higher. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, yep. So we've got that as a takeaway for Bill. The other one that I was just going to ask about has to do with the board of, or excuse me, the finance officer on page 9 of the Infinite Visions. You've got your computer software support. Looks like it's going to end up being over budget. I thought we ended up saying we had a credit from last year that was going to get applied. And so I didn't know if there was something going on and if that number that we were going to overspend that budget is real. And if so, did the credit not come through as expected, or what would be going on in that computer software support? And I could just be misunderstanding or misremembering.
There was a credit. Some of that credit, it turns out, was already offset with some additional expense when that was reported. So IV had some expenses for when they transitioned, and there were additional consulting hours that came in January, February, and March. I believe the credit was supplied. I was looking back to emails back in like February timeframe. And unfortunately, some of that credit was already gone. There were some additional expenses that came in after that as well from Infinite Visions.
So is this potentially just we misbudgeted in that we thought we still had credit and we actually did not have credit because something, it was actually spent last year?
Yeah, there was a credit from when moving from Munis to IV, but right. There were expenses incurred at that very same time with loading data and things like that, and consulting hours that were not taken out of that credit.
Yeah, the credit was that we had paid for Munis for a whole year, but we only used it for half a year. And so They gave us the credit for half that year. The time they gave us the credit was my understanding that we were going to use it to offset expenditures for this current fiscal year. And it turns out, unbeknownst to me, that I guess they were still applying some charges against it. And so it ended up exactly like you said. There were some costs in that current fiscal year that they charged off against that credit. So that credit is less than we thought it was going to be.
But they, Sarah here, they were still, it sounds like we got billed for more than we'd anticipated. You know, that either there were unanticipated expenses that just came up or that we misbudgeted. So how can we avoid that happening again? Because it looks like we're on track for that now, doesn't it?
Well, no, it's what happened last year, what's causing the issue this year. So it's not like the incident happened twice. It's just that the credit that we thought was going to roll over to this year, part of it got spent last year. I think, you know, the invoices came in from Visions and they just used the credit that was there to charge off against those expenses. I guess in hindsight, what we could have done is maybe communicated better with finance that money was supposed to be set aside and not used for any current expenses. Apparently that message didn't get there, I guess, is what it comes down to. Either way, it's not like we lost the money. If we didn't pay for it out of that credit, we would have had to pay for it out of something else. It was a necessary expense. It's just we didn't think it was going to be offset against, at least I didn't think it would be offset against that credit. That credit would be saved for this year. And obviously, it not all of it was.
All right. Any other questions on that? All right. Okay. Let's move on, Bill, then to special revenue funds. I think those begin on page 19 of our packets.
Yeah, so page 19 has the Park and Rec revenue. And we're coming in at 31% of budgeted at this point. Let's see. Park and Rec expenditures is coming in at slightly under 40% year to date. It looks like the salary is a little bit over. I'm not sure what's driving that. EMS special revenue year to date is coming in at slightly under 25% of budgeted. And the EMS year-to-date expenditures is 73.09% of budgeted. Have the transfer station year-to-date special revenue slightly under 14% budgeted at this point. And the expenditures year-to-date coming in at 84.33%. WPCA is coming in at 66%. And the expenditures at slightly under 44%. Now, not much to report for sewer assessment. Does anyone have any particular questions on the special revenue funds? In particular, just to make everyone aware, this is what I'm trying to focus in on, providing a better representation of these numbers and having the revenue and the expense on a single page with a net. I've tried to capture all. But unfortunately, when the revenue was reported from a reporting standpoint in IV, it's very hard to delineate between the special revenue funds. So I'm focused on this next round. I'll be able to share something out hopefully in a couple weeks. New representation for the special revenue funds reporting. Jen, you're on mute.
I just said, let's move on to investment income.
Right. Slide 29, as the investment income, as discussed earlier, we did receive the people's interest of the $22,430. STIF interest is significantly lower this year. The cash and investments on slide 30. Not much of a significant update there. And the tax collections is on slide 31, which is ahead of schedule from last year. We already discussed that though. Anybody have any particular questions on these?
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Susan, do you want to give us an update on Board of Education finances?
Absolutely. Good evening again, everyone. On page 32 of the packet is our financial highlights memo. I'm happy to report all of our salary line items as of October were within budget. We had some additional expenses over budget that carried forward from September, including rental equipment and maintenance, teaching instructional supplies, and custodial supplies. They are all COVID-related expenditures. Some of those could be offset with the COVID relief grant. We have applied for it. We have not yet received approval from the state on the grant and the allocation of funds. When we do, we'll apply them where we can to the general fund. Special education, as Kevin talked about a little bit earlier in our 6 o'clock meeting, we do have an over budget of $225,000 net of excess cost in our tuition and transportation, our tuition line for our out of district placement. We have 17 students outplaced as of October 31st. On a positive note, transportation is trending under budget. We have $149,000 available right now. that's specifically due to parents transporting their students to some of the out-of-district placements. If they were to return to school-based transportation, we would lose that those funds. Not all of them, though. And so we'll make the necessary adjustments to offset some of those tuition deficits when we've have enough months in to use those funds. We have some nursing services that are a little bit over budget in our contracted services. These are all due to student needs, increased needs with IEPs. And we have one case that's remaining in litigation. Our most recent date in October, there was a hearing. Not all the testimony was taken. So that's now pushed to another date, December 15th. Hopefully will be that final date and we'll know if there's any financial impact to the district and the town for that. In grants, I mentioned the COVID relief grant. If approved in full for all the expenditures we submitted for, we'll have $37,435 going back to the general fund to offset costs that have not yet been moved to that grant. So they're currently sitting in expenditures year to date on our general fund. And food service, this is the first month we're reporting on that this fiscal year. We do have a deficit of $16,329. That's about where we were last year at this time, but we did not receive the shared services billing from Avon as of October 31st, and that's about $3,000 to $3,500 a month. So we would owe July, August, September, has to be added into those bills. So it's about $9,000 to $10,000 additional deficit. Now, I will say we were in hybrid models at our schools with only half the students in. So we did see a significant increase. I do not have financials for October yet, but our lunch counts and national meals served in October did increase. Didn't increase the same as last year, but it did go up, and the high school, middle school were still in hybrid through October 13th, so only half the month actually in school. So we are seeing those numbers increase. We're running very tight inventories to try to keep those costs down as much as we can. We ask the community to please try our meals this year. They are free. The state did approve the free breakfast and lunch to all students for the rest of the school year. So it's a great opportunity if your family had not taken a part in it to please go out and take the opportunity to try our food, to try the great things that our kitchen, our staff produce. And you're helping the community, you're helping the school district by purchasing those meals. It keeps our program going. So I'll put a little plug out there for the great work they're doing. And they're updating the menu every week and trying to get a little bit more creative, but still be fiscally responsible with the menus.
All right. Any questions for Susan on the Board of Education expenses?
Well, it's not necessarily for Susan, it's for Susan and Kevin. If we could go back to the concerns that were raised by the Cherry Brook parents about the remote learning situation there and whether it's possible to add a teacher for them. And I know we said at the very beginning of this whole process that we wanted the Board of Ed to feel free to come back to us if they found that the COVID situation meant that they needed more money for anything related to educational expenditures. And it now turns out, thank goodness, that with the bonding for the bridge passed, we're in a position where we have, you know, fund balance available. So I'd, you know, like to hear their thoughts about that, but also remind all of us that we did tell them to come back to us if they need more, and they're having parents tell them that they need more.
So Kevin, do you want to address that now?
Certainly. Katie, thank you for asking about that. And Sarah, also thank you for your willingness to find out more about what we're doing. So as all of you heard me report on at the beginning of the year, with the voluntary remote learning program, once we found out how many students would be participating, about 200 overall, kindergarten through grade six. I hired five teachers to teach students in the distance learning program. Five teachers that were not part of our budget, which cost approximately $250,000. As you can see from our financials tonight, we were able to scrutinize our line items and cut back on some things to cover the cost of those salaries. We've spent the last week and a half since we've heard from parents truly analyzing the amount of time every student is participating in live instruction with the teachers. We're continuing to do that. We're looking at what additional personnel would be most effective. Would it be a non-certified person, or would it be a certified teacher at this point? So the Board of Ed and John Bishop, our Director of Learning and Innovation, are currently looking at that. We're currently looking at that right now. And I'll be talking with the Board of Ed this week about what direction we should go in. So I appreciate the parents' comments. We've communicated individually with many of the parents, and we really want to do what's best for students. So that's our bottom line. What is best for students? We're committed to doing that. So I can't tell you right now what the solution will be, but I can tell you in a few days what we would be recommending. But I'm happy to answer any questions you have right now about that.
Anybody questions? I don't have a question, but I just was going to make a comment. So Katie, I appreciate your notes. I appreciate that the parents, you know, the way they worded it to the Board of Finance, you know, from the standpoint of we would expedite any approvals necessary. And I think we do continue to have that open dialogue with the Board of Education. It is the Board of Education's, you know, responsibility to look at and figure out what is the best way to balance the students' needs and do that in the way that they see fit. And then as then they work that through the budget, they will bring any requests to us, much like we do with special education and with other things. And I think this would be treated the same way. And hopefully, you know, Susan, Julie, I know she's not on tonight, and Kevin, you all feel comfortable that you can raise issues to the Board of Finance and we will act as expeditiously as you need us to.
Absolutely, and that's greatly appreciated. I appreciate our communication and collaboration.
I just wanted to hop in and thank Kevin too, that I called John Bishop because I just wanted to understand the question a little bit better. And he was very helpful in explaining what your process is, Kevin, and the Board of Ed, and the ripple effects. If you do add another teacher at that level, there might be implications for the other schools in terms of ratios. So it's not as simple as just looking at those lower grades and those two people that are teaching them right now. It's more complicated. I have a lot of faith that you'll figure out what to do. And then again, the door is open here. So we do understand this is a very unusual year, very hard to budget.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Ken. I just want to back up what Katie said and Jan said, that and Kevin, we do want to give you enough time, and I understand why the parents would reach out to the Board of Finance when this is clearly an issue that only you can solve. But I understand that if they come to us, we can put pressure on you, of which I would say we're actually not going to do, because I don't think that's a very good idea. But we can have the discussion openly, though, on it. So we'll wait for your response back. And I think that's the best way to go with you, Kevin. And thanks, Ken. Okay.
I appreciate that, Ken. Thank you.
So other members know, when they initially wrote to me and to Katie, and that was how we responded, was to say, this is really, it's not a function of the Board of Finance to tell the Board of Ed how to spend their money. You know, that's a Board of Education responsibility, but that we are here to listen, and we are here with the door open should they need more. That was the understanding we all had going into this year.
Sarah, thank you for saying that, because I agree with what you're saying. It's and I understand why they would send it to the Board of Finance. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page with this, you know, we're all looking at this the same way. If anybody has anything different from what we're saying, this is probably the time to bring it up. So, thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions on the finance exhibits for the Board of Education or the general fund? Otherwise, we can move on to the Board of Selectmen updates and referrals. Let's move on. I don't know, Bob or Bob, one of you wants to go.
I can talk about the two items that are there. The first is the STEEP grant. The town got awarded a STEEP grant for $128,205 for the construction of a softball field at the school. It was discussed as part of the construction of the new fire station in Collinsville, that it would be on the grounds where the existing ball field is, and therefore that ball field had to be moved. The Board of Selectmen had an opportunity to apply for a STEEP grant. They discussed a number of different proposals and decided to move forward with seeking funding, partial funding, to move the Dyer Field over to the school property. That grant was approved. The cost of doing that ball field is approximately $330,000, $340,000, somewhere in that range. And so there will be an additional appropriation necessary of somewhere around $200,000 to $220,000, somewhere in there. We're still finalizing the exact figures. Normally, in order to accept a grant of that amount and to approve the additional appropriation out of fund balance, it would require Board of Selectmen approval, Board of Finance approval, then town meeting approval. Under the current executive orders, and considering the amount of interest this might have, it would be difficult to have a standard meeting. And so under the executive orders, the virtual equivalency of a town meeting is Board of Finance approval and then Board of Selectmen approval. The date that the state has given us to let them know that we approve of this grant is December 9th, which doesn't leave us a whole lot of time. So we're looking at a time frame, and this is, I think, the schedule that might work. The Board of Selectmen will take it up on November 24th, their next meeting. They will refer it to the Board of Finance. Board of Finance would have to have a special meeting the first week of December. And then the Board of Selectmen would vote on December 9th. For final approval. So it would go Board of Selectmen, refer to Board of Finance, Board of Finance meet, then it goes back to Board of Selectmen, and Board of Selectmen would have to vote on it. So it would include both the approval of the grant and the appropriation of the additional funds. You don't have to take any action tonight unless you want to approve a special meeting date, but I just wanted to give you advance warning that it's coming, what the some of the ramifications from it would be. The flip side of it is that it would allow the amount that we would need to borrow for the fire station will go down. I think it was at $5 million before. And so that number would go down to correspond with the amount of money that we'd be appropriating for the ball field. So that's the STEEP grant.
I think I saw
Sarah. I raised my hand, but I see Sarah has her hand up first. Go ahead,
yep.
Sarah.
Sarah was first, Ken.
It's not that important to me. I've got two questions. One is, Bob, I'd like to see a detailed cost list for this. I remember when we talked about this before, we were told that there would be some cost savings by moving over the speaking stand. I think that we were told that some of the bull associations, I'm not sure what they're called, but would be paying for part of this. This is just sounding... And I did not pull my notes to see what we were told before, but it sounds more expensive to me than what I was expecting. So that's one thing. And then that's one question. And the second question is, what is the public's opportunity to comment on this? Would there be a public hearing on this? I given we normally would do a town meeting to approve money like this, I think there should be some opportunity for public comment, although it is a very short time frame.
Yeah. First on the cost. The they actually got three cost estimates for constructing the field. One of them was close to $400,000. The other two were over $600,000. And so this is the lower cost estimate. To get it down to a price of around, let's say, $330,000, that includes bringing over the bullpen and the, I don't know, there are a number of different items that they can reuse from the existing field. So that includes utilizing those items. We're also looking at if there's any possibility where we could use town services, DPW, to do some of the work. So we're going to look at that also. You know, I agree that, you know, most people would never imagine that it would cost that much to build a ball field. But from the quotes that we got, that, you know, that was the lower side of those quotes. Far as public hearing goes, it kind of uses a model. We have approved things through this process during COVID. What we did is we set up, so as part of both the Board of Finance and the final Board of Selectmen meeting, there would be a public hearing. We would give people the opportunity to either call in, or we would also advertise email that they could send in advance. And so you'd have the email as part of that process also. So we basically follow the same procedure we did prior, including actually what we ended up doing for the budget. I agree. I mean, I'd be more comfortable having a traditional town meeting, but unfortunately, I don't think that opportunity is available to us right now. In the time frame we got from the state, we need to move it forward. So that's kind of where we're at.
How can we do a better job, though, of getting the word out about that so that people do have an opportunity to comment and contribute to it? Because I think we've got to find a way, if we're operating under these procedures for now, and I think we, you know, there's no question that we have to be, I think we've got to find a way of communicating better to the public to give them a chance to participate.
We do reach out in a number of ways, and I have a First Selectman's Corner in preparation now that's going to include the ball field in it, and people do seem to read it. But of course, like any medium, is read by some and not by others. So we have to put it out there in a number of different ways. I mean, I know we will certainly put out a Q Notify and put it into and launch it out to to the Valley Press and other news outlets, and those automatic, as soon as they go out on the Q Notify, they're automatically put out on Instagram, Facebook, and other venues. So it should be getting out, and then the question is, will the public feel that they've had enough chance, opportunity to weigh in, and we have enough opportunity to react, to respond? Again, the time frame is really short, and we've got this Thanksgiving thing in between, you know, which is kind of tough. This is going to be tough, but I think if we can do all of those things, you know, that I'm talking about, if I can get something out this week, that would be very helpful in that. I don't think it's a complete solution, but it'll take us a long way.
I think we could also reach out directly to some of the stakeholders. You know, obviously Little League would have a big interest in this. The fire department would. So we can make sure that you know, the stakeholders who would be involved in this would can get notice of it. You know, we have gone before Park and Recreation and made sure they, you know, had a at their actual Park and Rec meeting and had a discussion with them about it. And Q Notify does get to quite a few people. Because I know when we send out, for example, if we Q Notify the request for capital expenditures for the residents, almost within minutes, I'll get a few back. I'm not sure who sits there all day waiting for Q Notifies, but somebody is, because we do get responses pretty quickly back. But, you know, the Selectman's Corner, Q Notify, and reaching out directly to some of those stakeholders, I think would be helpful.
Yeah, it's been proven effective.
Okay. I mean, as we noted at the very beginning of the first meeting tonight, we really didn't get very many comments for the capital budget this year, and fewer than we have in the past. And so if all of those systems were used to let people know, encourage them to submit things. It feels as if that didn't work. And so I just want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to reach out and make sure people are included.
Sometimes, too, it's a burning issue that gets the responses. Because I have to respond to them every year. I know, you know, one year it was Lights on the Track Field, and we probably got 100 responses on Lights on the Track Field. There's a group that organized around it. There was a time period where we didn't take as good a care of our roads, and I get constant responses based on the roads. You know, I think we're doing a better job of that. So part of it is share. We probably could have sent it out, notified it a few more times. But also, you know, maybe at this point there's really no burning issues out there that people, you know, feel the need to organize around to spend funds on, you know, from a capital project standpoint.
Yeah, at this point we have a number of competing issues. I mean, we've got, 915 Albany Turnpike, which has gotten the public's attention. You know, we've got, you know, the remote learning at Cherry Brook. We've got, you know, we've got bridges, and, you know, and we've just had a very contentious election. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff moving at this point. I mean, if you ask, you know, just ask anybody on the street or, you know, over the phone or whatever, you know, what they're concerned about. I mean, look at Facebook and you'll see these issues pop up. So it's a lot for the public to pay attention to at this point.
I just want to interject, Bob. I just wrote down, you said you're meeting on the 24th of November, yeah. But that's a Tuesday. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Our next Board of Selectmen meeting's on a Tuesday.
Okay. I just wanted to verify. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're just not dedicated enough to meet on Thanksgiving Eve. I don't know.
I would do it. I'm just like, but I would probably be, you know, I'd be tortured.
Okay, maybe I'm not.
I have a question. Does the town have a way for people for residents to sign up for email blasts?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Go on the website, sign up, and they'll get the Q notify messages, which includes all the minutes and agendas, and you can sign up for different versions. If you don't want everything, there's certain okay. types of notices you can sign up for. And as Bob said, not only does it go out as email, but also goes out to social media, also goes out to all the press, so that if we have something we send out on the Q Notify, it also goes to all the newspapers.
Okay, great. Now, does that get advertised? And, you know, do we, like, a yearly thing where we encourage residents to sign up for that?
We used to. I don't know if we have recently.
Yeah,
we got new residents coming into town every year.
Maybe with tax bills or something, with the tax bills this year or something like that in January, can we put a piece of paper in?
We do periodically encourage people to sign up, encourage them to participate. Certainly during the budget process this year, we encourage a lot of, we encourage feedback. You know, so we do it, you know, from time to time throughout the year to just encourage folks to speak up. We want to hear from them.
I'd like to second Jen's suggestion that they go out with the tax bills twice a year and on a regular basis. This is, I'm always surprised how few people know about it. It seems to be, you know, it's not a secret, and yet there are a lot of people who have never heard about it until some issue comes up, and then they say, why isn't the town communicating with us? And I always say, well, are you signed up for the emails? And they say, what emails?
Yeah.
So, and if they went on the website, it's not easy to find on the website, actually. I think it's kind of hidden. So I think making it a regular thing, because people do turn over in town, so do it twice a year, do it with the tax bills.
Yeah.
You get everybody. Or most of
another thing too, Sarah, is to resuscitate a welcome wagon or a welcome service, you know, for people coming into town. I mean, I've been talking with the chamber about that a little bit. I think that would be a very good thing to welcome people into town, get them oriented, show them where and how they can do stuff, and then also get their input as to, you know, how they want to plug into the community. I think that would be really good too. So yeah, we've got a few things to do.
I would also just point out the tax bill, the amount of real estate on the tax bill is somewhat limited. And so we do, you know, that would compete with some other things that normally go out there, including last tax bill, like COVID information on it and stuff like that. So if we can figure out where to put it on there, certainly it sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Appreciate that. Bob, do we, I know you said we didn't need to take any action. I guess this is going to kind of stand notice to the Board of Finance that we may need to schedule a special meeting on either, if we want to keep Mondays, it would be Monday, November 30th, or it would be Monday, December 7th. I think are our two options. So
I'm free. Good. I think we should need to set it tonight, Jen. Just my opinion.
I would agree.
Does anybody have a recommendation as to which meeting they would like to and make a motion? And then we can make a motion to add a special meeting if necessary, because this issue is referred to us by the Board of Selectmen on November 24th.
Is either day not good for anybody? Both days are good for me.
Both days are good for me.
So you're saying Monday the 30th or Monday the 7th?
Right.
Yep.
They're both.
I'd recommend if you have it available, you meet on the 30th. That way, if for some reason you wanted additional information, you'd have a week in order to, to, you know, have that happen.
That makes sense.
Okay, so do you want a motion, Jen, or do you not care? Yeah.
Yes, please.
I'd like to move that we tentatively set a special meeting of the Board of Finance for Monday, November 30th at 7 p.m.
Second.
Okay. Here's Andrew.
Hey, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right. Okay. So we have a tentative meeting for Monday the 30th that will include public comment and then a decision on referring that back to the Board of Selectmen, and it will include spending some money out of our funds. Bob, I'm assuming you will be able to give us some kind of a workup that will tell us an amount up to type of a language.
Yeah, all the language available. We'll also have all the, you know, the impact on fund balance and all those type of things so that you have a complete picture.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, do you want to move on to the PFAS update? I love PFAS.
You're the only one. And I know we've talked about this before, and I just want to make sure you're you know, kind of up to speed on it, at least from a 10,000 foot level, so that you have an idea of what the financial impact could be, or you know, some idea of the ramifications. And I would also point out that at the last Board of Selectmen meeting, our environmental consultant was there and gave a presentation to the Board of Education, and I believe that's taped and probably online. So if you want to get a good idea of you know, a more in-depth look at the PFAS issue at Cherry Brook, you can certainly look at that recording. So I'd recommend it. But just in brief, there are really three areas that they looked at for concerns with PFAS, and that would be the chemicals that derived from the firefighting foam that was used in training at the school. One is well water. The other is direct exposure or contact. And then the third would be pollutant mobility leaching criteria. And so the first would be well water. At the school well was tested and there was no PFAS found in the water. There was all the surrounding wells within 500 feet of the property. We sent out notices requesting that we be allowed to test their wells. Six people responded and gave us approval. We did test all those wells. And all those wells, there was no PFAS found except for one in which there was 0.9 parts per trillion, and the state criteria is 70 parts per trillion. So it gives you an idea of how far below the state level it was. So all the wells came back, either there was non-detect or it was well below what the state criteria is. The next is direct exposure. That means if you're out playing on a field with that might have been had PFAS on it. Is there any concern there? They did test the soil in a number of different areas at Cherry Brook, and all the tests came back and said that the levels of PFAS was well below what the state criteria was. So from a direct exposure, you know, playing soccer on it or whatever it may be, they came out well below what the state criteria is. The next is pollutant mobility leaching criteria. Basically what that means is there sufficient amounts of PFAS in the soil, and in particular below ground level, but it could also be a ground level, that if it was to leach down, would it have the ability to possibly pollute the groundwater? And so they did a number of tests on the soil. It's a very low criteria. It doesn't take much to fail the state requirements. And we did find out that the soil was in a higher above what the state criteria is for PFAS. And so there was a concern that it would be able to leach into the groundwater. So at that point, they did have several groundwater wells that they drilled and tested the groundwater. And in fact, in certain areas, and if you looked at the report, you can see those areas, they're the circled areas primarily out where they used to practice, or they still do practice soccer out closer to Cherry Brook. Those, there did come up in those wells, there had PFAS in the groundwater. And so they, from the limited information they have now, they look to see where that plume may be going, where the groundwater, what direction it'll be going in. It is going away from the school. It is actually heading in the direction of Cherry Brook. They're gonna do some additional testing to verify that it is in fact not migrating upgrade, but it's migrating towards Cherry Brook. Also, they're gonna do some additional testing near Cherry Brook to see if the plume has actually reached the brook. There's also some other testings they can do to determine if it's reached groundwater, kind of some other criteria of the groundwater, which may assist in coming up with a final mitigation plan. The cost of these additional testing, or the cost of this additional testing, is $134,000. That has been sent to the town insurer for the insurer's review. They are reviewing it at this point. They haven't given final approval to go ahead yet. The two numbers that the town really needs to be concerned about, one is the $75,000 deductible. The other is the $1 million cap, which is there for the insurance. So we do have a cap on the insurance. Right now, I think we're somewhere about $50,000 into it, maybe a little higher. So we still have some more money that we'll pay ourselves before we reach the deductible. Obviously, we're monitoring that. To give you some idea about the cap, just some very preliminary numbers. We're looking at about 2,500 tons of soil that would be removed, contaminated soil. So basically, they'll come in to remove the contaminated soil so that the contaminated soils are no longer there and can't leach down into the groundwater. Just to remove, not even remove the soil, to transport the soil and then to discard the soil would be about $300 a ton. So if they had to remove that many tons, 2,500 tons, I guess it is, the cost would be $750,000. And again, that's just for disposal of the soil. Then you'd still have to move new soil in. It would have to be overseen by a professional environmental scientist who would certify it. So we think we have a number that we can get lower than that $300 per ton. But I just wanted to put that out there so you have some idea of the magnitude of the cost of what this could be. We'll know more after they finish these final tests, but you know, just have that number somewhere in the back of your head so you have an idea of, again, what the magnitude of this could be. I would point out one other thing, although we are early, we are somewhat of a test case in this. One thing to think about is, you know, one thing to know is that we were one of the last towns to get in under the insurer before. Now this is no longer qualified under their insurance. So when we met with our the town's insurer, KERMA, they notified us that Chubb was, that, who was our environmental insurer, this is an exemption now under their policy and no longer covering it. Yeah. We got in under in time, so we are covered by it. But because of the exposure and liability that this could be when you take it on a statewide municipal level, they have now excluded it from their policy. So, you know, I think by stepping forward and addressing the problem in the long run, it may end up, you know, saving us money as compared to other municipalities. So, I mean, this is for informational purposes, but I wanted to make sure you had that data.
Wow. Glad we got in under the policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Any questions for Bob, on the PFAS update? Okay. Any other per selectman, board of selectmen updates?
None that I have. I guess one other thing I just want to mention real quick on COVID related, just to let you know, we are seeing some pressure on some of our staff. In other words, we can clearly see an uptick in people who are been in close contact with somebody with COVID, and it's starting to have an impact on some of our staff as far as people being quarantined and I'm sure the school's got it much worse than we do, but we are looking at some contingencies and things that we may have to implement as far, especially with DPW and snow plowing in the wintertime, and whether at some point we need to bring in an extra contractor or we got to keep the roads clear. But and we actually even having communications with other towns and mutual aid and things like that. But it is getting to be a problem. We're finding more and more that we are losing staff. Not so much that the staff have COVID, at least not yet. A couple have, but it's more, spouse has it or somebody in close contact has it. So it is becoming an issue. Bob, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
No, we've been, we have talked at the board level about the human resources function, which I think the entire board felt was important, but we are very concerned about budget impact considering all of the other things that are coming before us. We're going to continue to discuss it, because we feel that, structurally it's important, but we're concerned that given all these other things that it just wouldn't fly in this budget year. I would hope that that's not the case, but I think the reality is the reality unless you guys, educate me. So more discussion on that to come.
I have a question. Are we still on track for a Christmas present with regards to the Axe Factory? Any changes there?
I have not heard directly from the buyer that anything has changed. With respect to a December closing, but I have heard from others who have their ears to the ground in the industry that it may slip to the first quarter, but none of that's been verified. I put in a call to him, every few weeks just to say kind of where are you at, and so my time to call him is tomorrow or Wednesday, and so far I'm saying December is when, and when I call him this week and he says, Q1, then we'll know it's not December.
Late Christmas presents are okay too.
I'll take them.
Yep.
I think that would be a huge sign to everyone here in town that that we're moving forward. I think the other place to keep an eye on is Canton Village. I think is, is a potential area for development. We'll see what happens with that. But so far, as far as I know, Bob, I don't think you've heard anything that anybody has taken an active interest in that. But there's an awful lot of vacant property there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Maybe not Board of Selectmen question, but maybe a request at this point, Bob and Bill. We mentioned having a couple staff members with COVID, and it just made me think. I don't think we've seen a one digital report on our year-to-date medical experience yet. I know we're early in our policy year, but if we can get an update on when we will get our next one digital report, I think it would be helpful to start to understand where are we. How are we running relative to expected claims, et cetera? All right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Board of Education updates and referrals. Kevin, do you have anything for us? There's nothing going on.
No, nothing. No. Related to finance, I just wanted to let you know that following the mediation process, we have come to a tentative agreement with our teachers union on a new 3-year contract. As Jen alluded to earlier, I can't talk about it yet because it needs to be ratified by the teachers and then the Board of Ed, hopefully on November 24th, and then I can report out publicly on that. So you'll be hearing more from me on that. I do thank Jen for participating as an observer for several hours over the last few weeks. Thank you so much, Jen, for participating in the process.
No worries. It was educational.
So that's all I have to report tonight.
Okay. Any questions from the board members for Kevin? All right, let's move on to our new business. So we have the Board of Finance meeting dates. We need to get these finalized and put into action or sent to the town clerk. So if I look on, they were on page, they're in our packet after the PFAS stuff. So there's lots of pages.
81,
of that.
Page 81.
All right, thank you. So page 81 here is the list of dates. Does anybody have any comments or concerns about these dates, Sarah?
Yeah, I've got some questions. I just need clarification. I'll put it into my calendar here. So I think the timing all looks very similar to what we had last year. Get to Monday, the 8th of March. That is, that's not a meeting, correct? That's just the deadline by which we get them. They get sent to us. I'm trying to figure out which ones of these are meetings and what times they are so I can get them on the calendar.
Yeah, so Sarah, I would point you to the Board of Finance meeting packet on page 81. You're referring to the one from the tri-board where we had some of the dates. Okay, we do not, so to answer your question, no, the 8th is not a meeting.
Okay, let me call it the right one. I'm sorry about that. I printed the wrong page then.
That's all right, sir. You had me in a panic here because I couldn't find it on my page.
Oh, there we go. We got times on them too.
Yep.
Oh, but wait a minute. So 3:15 is 6 p.m. for the budget meeting. I see it. Okay.
Yep, that'll be the Board of Selectmen budget followed by our standard monthly meeting.
Right.
And then Wednesday the 17th, we will have the Board of Education presentation on the budget.
Yep. And our big workshop.
Yep. My question to the group is, do we want to recommend, now I think this would have to go to Board of Selectmen and Board of Education, but do we want to set October 18th as the tri-board meeting officially at 6 o'clock? And Bob Skinner, do we need to put that on our calendar here now?
To be considered a regular meeting, you would have to put it on now, or you have to set it at least 30 days prior to the meeting to have it be considered a regular meeting. So it would be, yeah, if you want to set it down, that would be a good idea. We can always adjust it later if we have to.
Let's.
I think that's a good idea. That way the other boards know what's coming up.
I'm good with October 18th.
I think we can do that.
I don't think that far in advance. It looks good to me.
All right. Are there any any other questions or comments on these budget or in these meeting dates? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion that we adopt page 81 as our 2021 Board of Finance meeting schedule with the addition of the tri-board meeting at 6 o'clock on October 15th.
Jen, before we do this,
October 18th.
18th.
Did anybody check the Jewish calendar to make sure we're not hitting on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur? I tell you what, let me do that real quick because that would be a problem if we hit those. I think that's disrespectful.
What,
just like,
what is your question? Else?
I want to make sure we're not going to hit the Jewish calendar, the Jewish holidays. So let me check for it real fast. And if you want to come back to this or do you want to act on it right now?
we can do a quick check here. It would be November, excuse me, September 20th and October 18th that we need to look at, right?
Yep. Let's see here. September 15 is Yom Kippur. The September date is okay. Rosh Hashanah's earlier. We're okay. Good. Thank you.
Nope. Thank you. Yeah, they both seem to be okay. Yep. All right. So with that, I will entertain a motion.
So move.
Okay. I have Katie with the and Ken with the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay. Thank you. Let's move up to the general COVID reimbursement update.
So FEMA has yet to reimburse, and that's true for at least all the municipalities that have been on recent conference calls with OPM. Because of that, OPM did have to enforce their deadline of October 31st for all expenses through June 30th, which for us was 60,000 through May, and then an additional 12,000 through into June, so that was $72,000. Because of that, OPM kind of expanded their guidelines to say that if you feel that the expenses would not be reimbursed or being challenged by FEMA, that you could submit them to OPM for reimbursement, because they understand FEMA is not right now not paying. So we did that, and the application was recently approved. Although I don't have the funds yet, we were approved for $62,000 for the expenses through June 30 at this point. I'll make everyone aware once we do get reimbursement, but it is favorable that OPM does understand that the municipalities need some relief.
Yes. We're able to continue tracking even through now, correct? It's just there's different cycles.
Yeah, there's different cycles, and we're currently slightly over $100,000 year to date for what we deemed as COVID-related expenses. And that's through, we've submitted everything through September 30th so far.
So just for July, August, September, we're at $100,000 year to date.
Yep, that's correct. Okay.
All right. Okay. Any questions for Bill on the COVID expenses? Okay, all right. We did move on to the item we added, which is a general budget considerations. I don't think we need to necessarily prolong this conversation per se, and this might be the kind of the first of this format, so we'll just test it out and see if it works. But generally wanted to make sure that any board members who might have thoughts on areas of focus that they would like to pass on or considerations beyond just it's going to be our responsibility to balance the town's, you know, demands from a, you know, infrastructure perspective and a financial perspective with keeping things affordable, which is the balance we strike every year. Is there any either reaction to some of the summary comments that I stated in the tri board meeting? Or are there any kind of guidelines or thoughts that the board members would like to provide around just considerations heading into this budget cycle? Ken.
With a current standing of 18%, to me, that's phenomenal for the town. My first reaction is somebody's going to want to spend that. And my second reaction is, and we didn't get a town bridge update, but we have some costs coming down the road that we're going to have to pay for. So I would have, you know, warned everybody it may look like a good 18% for our fund balance, but we do have some very expensive costs that are coming down the road. And I just would have, you know, now that I'm thinking 20, after the fact. We should have mentioned that. It's just human nature. That's what it is. Oh, we got some extra money. We can, you know, spend it. And I don't think we're in a situation to, I'm not going to, I don't want to use all the cliche terms, but I think we need to be very aware that we're going to have to be taking some money out of the fund balance to pay for some stuff. And I'm using Town Bridge for example, because we know we're going to get hit with that.
Potential for Town Bridge. There's potential for, we just talked about the softball field. If yes. that's going to be a budget appropriation, that would pretend, that would come out of our general fund balance.
So I think thank you. That's another one. And so
I think, Ken, your point is that the 18% is definitely putting us in a great fiscal position, right. which we should all be, you know, pleased with. We did the right things going through our last budget cycle, but on the flip side, we've given the Board of Education guidelines that if they need things this fiscal year, that we are willing, that we want to have that collaborative discussion, and we have some projects that will potentially use up some of that fund balance before we get to the budget.
Correct. I think that I think that's a good analogy on that, and it just, you know, just human nature is, oh, we got some extra money, let's find something to spend it on. And what I'm trying to say is, we already have items that are we're going to have to spend it on. It's already out there. We already got a list of stuff we have to handle. And the school, you're right, we have to back them up because we said we're going to. So
that's
any. Go ahead.
Appreciate that, Ken. Any other kind of just thoughts people have on their mind about where we stand or considerations going into the budget cycle? Okay.
Just one question. If everybody's silent, Bob, is there any additional information on that Town Bridge?
Well, where do we begin, Bob?
We had a meeting with DOT after, I don't know, 8 months. They finally agreed to paint the bridge. We are having more direct meetings now with the contractor and working out what the final costs are. Hopefully we'll have those shortly. We are looking at, he's anticipating that the bridge would be up and completed by the end of May. The biggest cost that we probably have outstanding at this point is the mobilization and demobilization of the crane. The crane was out, it had to be moved. Each time you move that crane, it costs about $50,000. It takes a week just to set it up. And so because the bridge wasn't completed on time, they were renting the crane from somebody else. It had to be moved. And so that's a substantial cost that's out there. We don't know whether DOT will approve that cost. So it's what we need to do is continue to meet with the contractor, finalize what we anticipate the cost, the additional costs are going to be between now and the end of the project, and then bring those to DOT and get DOT's approval. So obviously DOT is paying 80%. So at this point, I mean, like I said, the biggest one, we probably know about 180,000 of additional costs just with the contract, and then there'll be some additional costs with the engineering firm that's overseeing it. Because of additional inspection costs. So, you know, we got to pay 20% of that. And so, but we did have some additional room in there. So there will be additional costs. But, you know, at this point, I can't tell you exactly what they're going to be until we finalize that.
Okay, thanks.
One thing I would mention when you were talking about fund balance, the other thing to consider about the fund balance is that if we are going to go out the bond for the fire station, we do want to have a healthy fund balance when we do that, because it helps us when we go to sell those bonds. It gives us a better interest rate.
Great. So, you know, thank you for bringing that up. You're right. I've been through enough of this that you're right. It does. We win quite a bit. The town wins quite a bit with a healthy fund balance.
Yeah, the rating agencies want to see between 15 and 18%. It continuously goes up over time. I've been in government so long, I remember when it was 5%, but They want to see between 15 and 18%. So we're well within that threshold now. And, you know, I it's just one more thing to consider when you're using fund balance.
I think of my dad throwing a fit when it was at 3%.
Oh, yes. I remember him well.
Oh, yes. Plus
fun.
All right. Any other comments? All right. I do welcome if anybody has feedback on the best way to facilitate a conversation. I have heard both from the Board of Education and Board of Selectmen that more of a philosophy or things that we will be looking for as a board as we go through the budget cycle would be helpful for them. I think typically we have, you know, we like bottoms up, like to keep the increase as low as we can while meeting all the needs. And so that is what we've always asked for. That is what we continue to strive for. But the reality of that sometimes I think makes it hard for our boards. So to the extent that there's any ways you guys can think of to structure a conversation as we head into next year's tri-board, I think that would be appreciated by the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education, at least what I've heard from them. And then the other comment, oh, I lost my train of thought on this, so I will just not make it because it must not have been important. All right.
Email us.
I actually have one. I mean, we're a year away from this for the tri-board for next year, but the SIP paperwork is really hard to read. The stuff is tiny, and we've got all the proposals on those spreadsheets, all the ideas of things that we could spend money on. Whereas at this point of the year, what we're really looking at is what's planned for this year. You know, what's immediate, what's already approved. So if we're possible to have a summary sheet that just puts that on it, in addition to the, I mean, I'd still like to see the big spreadsheets, but I think summarizing, you know, what's planned for this upcoming year that's already approved, I think that might be helpful. I don't know if anybody else shares that, but.
We can do that. That sheet is cumbersome. I agree. A summary sheet that goes along with that could be helpful. I agree.
Yeah, thank you.
There's the balance of what I have to pay attention to this next year, along with what's on the horizon that's unfunded. And I think kind of looking at the debt service balance and what potentially is looming out there for debt needs is something just from a consideration. And that's why I think we get the 5 years and we get all the detail, but a rollback.
I absolutely want the 5 year, but at that tri-board, we're really looking at the nearer horizon. You know, what are we looking at for this year? And I think I'd like both if we could. Yeah. Yeah, but you have to watch the 5 year.
Yeah, I like the spreadsheet. I think there might be a way, even with the big spreadsheet, to format it just a little bit differently so that, you know, if you're actually trying to look across one of those rows from the very beginning to the end of the row, it's actually hard to stay on the same line because it's so small. And so one thing might be just to have like bold lines in between every five things or something to guide your eyes as you're going across. They're just silly formatting things that can help make it easier to read.
It might always be like helpful. The gray and white every other line too.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's something that does an odd shading. Okay, yes. Nope. Yep. Appreciate that. All right, so I think we lost Kevin, but just Susan and Bob as we move forward, I know we kind of round and round, but if you can even think of here's something that would be helpful or, you know, are there any comments? It's an ongoing challenge, right?
Oh, for sure, and it's great to see that everybody's heart is in the right place. I mean, we're all trying to meet the needs of the town. We're all, and one of those big needs is to keep the town affordable, you know, and yet keep us moving forward. And it's, you know, it's always a balancing act. You know, going back to the reports for just 1 minute, it might be an idea to consider having a report subcommittee, because you know, reports are kind of like this, an ongoing thing, you know, that just like there's always some way to improve them and you know, just so, you know, so that way, you know, there will be a couple of people to focus in on how they could be, how they can be improved. Always something there. And I agree with you, Jen, that having the long term, the long view as well as the short view is really important for us. We, you know, I would really not like, I think it would do the town a disservice if we were only looking at 1 year at a time. We really need that longer horizon so that we can see the longer term impact of what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Any other comments there? Otherwise, appreciate the commentary we had so far. We can move on to the approval of the minutes. So on page 82 of your packet were the minutes from our last meeting. Anybody have a motion or any comments? Sarah.
Move they be approved as written.
A second?
Second.
All right, I hear Andrew. Ken, you got it. You raised your hand, Andrew spoke. I heard Andrew. All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, Katie, I'm assuming you're all right here on my screen. All right.
She waved, I saw that.
Okay, thank you. I like I said, I need a different computer next time because I went from having 12 boxes to 9 and it's throwing me off tonight. All right, we had informational items, Board of Selectmen minutes, Board of Education minutes, and then our next meeting is on Monday, December 21st. That will only be our regular Board of Finance meeting at 7 o'clock. Any comments? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to move. Motion to adjourn.
I like the first one.
Motion so to moved. Move. All right, Ken, any second?
Second.
All right, Ken and John, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you, everybody.
And Janie waved.
All right, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and we will see you all next month, if not before. Oh, actually, we will see you all on November 30th. Don't forget, we have a special meeting.
Everybody stay safe.
Yes, please. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.